Afternoon, brothers and sisters, friends. We want to give God thanks for today. In fact, if there's a day that we should be happy, it is today. It is a Sabbath day. It's a day of fellowship and rest, and we need to give God thanks. It's Health Day here, and we are celebrating God's goodness towards us. The topic, my health, God's plan, my responsibility. But I have expand on that a little bit for us to be all inclusive. So it's our health, God's plan, our responsibility. I want you to know that our health is not a chance. Hello? Our health is what? And too many people think that we should borrow the slogans of the popular food chain. It's finger looking good. Or the bigger, the better. We need to be clear that our health is not a matter of chance, and we must make appropriate choice to enjoy good health. There is an inseparable link between good health and salvation. But across the world today, there is a global health crisis. Health professionals are telling you that we need to be aware of so many things that it is frightening. And among the things that are challenging our people is lifestyle diseases. But everybody wants to enjoy good health, isn't it so? Who don't want to enjoy good health? No hand going up. The desire for good health is a personal need. And many people are concerned about what is happening in their life. But it's God's wish for us to enjoy good health. And we need to understand it is also our responsibility. So good health is not a chance. It is a choice. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, tabernacle with us today. Speak to us in clear tones. I stand before your people one more time, and I ask that thou will unctionize me, that thou will hide me behind the cross, that thou will speak to me and through me to your people. Let your words be known, be heard, be felt. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As health professionals, and as Seventh-day Adventists, we many times say that the health message is the right arm of the gospel. Is that so? Nobody hear me. Is that so, Sister Cornwall?
Absolutely.
We believe that the health message is the right arm of the gospel. When you go to the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all record Jesus having an encounter with a man with a withered arm. But Luke, being the physician he was particular to note that the man did not just have a withered arm, but he had a withered right arm. Extrapolate with me a little bit, theologians. Could it be that a church that claimed that it the right arm of its message being the health message is withering in the area of health? But I want you to know God is good. He says, I am come what? Read with me. I am come that they may and have it more. So even if there are limitations, we have a Jesus who is still waiting for us, who is still ready to work with us. So he challenges us this morning, beloved, thy which above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I want you to understand that if you are not enjoying health, you will not enjoy worshiping. So if you are having a toothache this morning, maybe you wouldn't be in church. Hello? If you are having pain, very few of us would get up and come to church with the pain and suffering. But I want you to be clear that God desires us to enjoy good health. Let's go quickly at the definition for health. As stated by the World Health Organization, it says it is a state of complete physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being. And not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. But look on the other side to that. What is disease? Disease is want or absence of. You're not with me. Want or absence of. You have no ease. It is uneasiness or distress or discomfort. Any morbid or depraved condition, physical, mental, moral, social, spiritual, or even political. It is the absence of ease. But what is happening in our world today is that most of what we are seeing as challenging circumstances are as a result of our lifestyle. Medical person refer to them as the non-communicable diseases. Lifestyle diseases are conditions caused by poor nutrition, lack of physical activities, use of alcohol, use of tobacco, use of illicit drugs, maladaptive responses to stress, violence, and irresponsible sexual practices. And I'm going to come back to some of those. Let's look at some of these diseases. Coronary heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, cancer, stroke, arthritis, obesity, alcoholism, drug addiction, sexually transmitted diseases of various kinds. All of these are lifestyle diseases, which in other words mean we bring them on to ourselves. We are dying today, but the truth is, it is our own lifestyle that is killing us. This brings a global burden on nations and economies across the world. You look and you'll find out that in 2010, more than 50% of those who die across the world die from lifestyle diseases. What is the cause? Disease in most parts of the world are due to the rapid changes in lifestyle. We move from one thing to another. So you'll find when you do studies, anywhere certain fast food chain go, death rate increase. Jamaica, by the way, is said to be the number one selling store for KFC in the world and for Burger King, and they happen to be situated right where you are, halfway through Jamaica. You know what has come with that? Per capita, we are the number one country in the world for prostate cancer. Per capita, our women are having more fibroids than anywhere else in the world. Because of the kind of lifestyle, and unfortunately, many of us have moved away from learning to cook these things. and are eating at the fast food chains. The change in diet, the increased use in tobacco, all of which are causing us to die quickly. But health reform is to stand out more prominently in the proclamation of the third angel's message. And we need to be clear that the health reform is based in God's word. In fact, there are three reforms that God's messenger asked his church to be particularly concerned about as we get to the end of time. Firstly, we need to be concerned about health reform. Secondly, we need to be concerned about Sabbath reform. And thirdly, we need to be concerned about dress reform. Can I just leave that one there? I don't want anybody to stone me. Because we see how people dress and behave today, and it is frightening, even in church. God requires continual advancement from his people. They need to learn that indulge appetite. What kind of appetite? You study this morning in the Sabbath school quarterly. You need to be mindful what you put in your indulge appetite is the greatest hindrance to mental improvement and to soul sanctification. In other words, many of us are using our teeth to dig our grave. More than that, through indulge appetite, we are leading ourselves into hell. Because except you are sanctified, you cannot make it to the kingdom. You look at what is happening in our world, and I'm showing you a slide which shows the death attributed to lifestyle disease throughout the world, and you'll find that the number one cause, leading cause of death in the world, is hypertension. Does anybody in here know what I'm talking about? And among those leading cause, most of them are lifestyle disease. Leading cause of death, heart disease, cancer, stroke, which is back to hypertension, lung disease, diabetes. Guess what? Studies have shown that these were the leading cause of death during the Egyptian era. When they excavate these mummies and do autopsies on them, these were the leading cause of death. We believe that medical science and health research has improved so much that we should have been able to better that. But they are still a leading cause of death impacting us today. What is the burden of lifestyle disease on the Jamaican society? Quickly, let me run that through for you. 30% of our men in this population is overweight. 60% of our women is overweight. 20% of our population suffer from hypertension. 12% from diabetes. 40% of our population do sedentary labor work at the desk, push paper, and so they have low activity, so they are not able to remove toxin from their body by activity. 50% of our population eat more fat than is recommended. So for those of us who still consume chicken, I use chicken as a popular one, the recommended daily intake of meat, if you eat meat, should not be more than 4 ounces, one chicken leg. But you want a leg and thigh and breast and wing. One in seven persons in our population smoke. The challenge with that is It does not stop with only or adult. Our children are affected by the inactivity to which we expose them. So my slide not coming up appropriately, but let me just run this by you quickly. The watching of television, the laptop, the iPhone, the tablet have taken away the active life of our children. Studies are showing that between 0 and 2 hours before any of these gadgets expose our children to be obese increased to 5.3%. When up to 5 hours per day is spent before that gadget, they have the possibility of being obese up to 23.4%, more than if they were not before these gadgets. So when I was a child, I used to be made to go out and to use all kind of little things to make my own toys. And I thought those were not good thing at the time, Pastor. But I come to appreciate that those were good activities for me at the time. Dr. Milton Gregory did a study on the Seventh-day Adventist Church when compared to what is happening in our population. Something is happening there on my slide. And Dr. Milton Gregory looked at the church in comparison to what is happening in society. Here are his findings. 30% of men in the church are obese, are overweight. 60% of women are overweight. 40% of our church members do no exercise. 20% of our membership are hypertensive. 10% are diabetic. 2% less than the nominal population. But look at this one. 37% of our single within the church who are not yet married or who have not been married are actively sexual. And I could have expanded on this research, and this one I think that Marlene, maybe you need to be looking at in your research. How does this affect the married people in our church? Is there a similarity? But more than that, 1 in 7 of our membership smoke. Hello? And I thought this wasn't true. In my own experience, I was doing a crusade up in the hills of St. Catherine. And there was a gentleman there. Every evening you get there, he's there. Church is open and music is playing. And he would be there when we are through to lock up and make sure everything was all right. One evening I was going to crusade and my car broke down on the way. And I called my son to come to my assistant, and he came. He's a mechanic, by the way. He brought a car that could not go into reverse. And he said to me, "This will take you, but you have no reverse." I worked out in my mind, I'm going to pass the church, go to the square, and make a U-turn where I need no reverse. And so when I'm through crusade, I will be able to drive straight home. So here am I in the community in a car that nobody saw me in before. So I passed through church a little earlier than I would usually. And on my way going up, I see my brother coming down with a spliff in his mouth. I drove up beside him and I stopped. And I said, "My brother, I'm going up to the square to turn to go back to church. You don't want to come in the car?" "No, evangelist." And I stood there with him, reasoning with him, until finally the cigar burned out the pants pocket and was thrown to the pan. And I said in my mind, when his wife see that burn spot, you'll have some explanation to do. So it might sound like I'm talking about what is happening in the general population, but be clear, there are persons among us who haven't given up the habit. One in four of our men in church contract some form of STI. One in eight of our women in church contract some form of STI. My brothers, my sisters, we need to be clear that if we are going to enjoy good health, we need to let go and let God take control. But when we look at the Seventh-day Adventist population, there was a study done when you look at coronary heart disease death compared to the population. And look at this now, stay with me. They use male age 35 and over. If you are a non-Seventh-day Adventist, you are in the world, you are not a vegetarian, you eat anything, you drink anything, when compared to a Seventh-day Adventist, you have, the Seventh-day Adventists enjoy a 56% better health condition than a man in the world. And I would say, praise God. The fact that you don't eat unclean food, the fact that you don't do something, just practice the basic, give you a 56% greater advantage than a man in the world. If you are a lacto-ovarian vegetarian, the man who is not a part of the Seventh-day Adventist faith, you who are in the faith enjoy a 39% being an better health condition, being in the church, being a lacto-vegetarian. So even if you are not eating all the things out there, the fact that you are part of the Seventh-day Adventist church gives you a better grasp, and you have 39% better health condition than a person who is a lacto-vegetarian out there in the world. If you are a total vegetarian, even out there in the world, and you are a total vegetarian here in the church, and by the way, if you are a total vegetarian, you need to be clear that as Seventh-day Adventists, you are not vegans. Because we don't worship the animals. So don't tell anybody that you are a vegan. You are a total vegetarian. If you are a total vegetarian and you are a Seventh-day Adventist, and there is a total vegetarian out there in the world, you still enjoy 14% better health condition. And I think we should say praise God. The church which God called you to be a part of, the health message which God called you to be a part of, provide a protection for his people. The world we live in is totally different from the world which God created. Let's look at this. The servant of God penned for us in the book Ministry of Healing, page 142, 143. She says, read with me, we are living in the midst of an... No man, half of the church, three quarters sleeping. Come with me. Read with me. You can see it there. We are living in the midst of an epidemic of... At which thoughtful, God-fearing men everywhere stand aghast. The corruption that prevails. Is there corruption in our land? Yes. The corruption that prevails. It is beyond the power of human pen to describe. Who can doubt that satanic agencies are at work among men with increasing activity to distract and corrupt the mind, and to defile and destroy the body? That sounds like something that comes from the tabloid of this morning. But you know what? Over 150 years ago, God gave us that. How many of us are seeing it for the first time? Don't show your hand. But we need to be clear that this world is challenged and Satan is doing everything to destroy us. What we need today is what the world needed over 2,000 years ago. A revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to be clear that we need to be close to Jesus. The only through the grace of Christ that the work of restoration, mental, physical, and spiritual, can be accomplished. And it is only through Jesus that we can claim health reform in any of its aspects. And God prescribed a healthy lifestyle for man. God prescribed what? A healthy lifestyle for man. Let's look at some of them. Man was made to enjoy a close relationship with God. So he says, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. God require that mankind enjoy a close relationship with his creator and with his fellow human being. And part of the close relationship that man should enjoy should also be financial relationship. Are you with me? Let me tell you, I like two nations of people that I got the opportunity to spend some time looking at. The Chinese and the Jews. I'm going to tell you why. We have a lot of Chinese operating business in Jamaica. True? We have quite a lot of Jews operating business in Jamaica. Let me ask you a question, and I'm coming to ask you. How many Chinese police do you see?
We're in Jamaica. I've never seen a Chinese.
How many Jewish policemen do you see?
Now, how you determine who is a Jew? Because they are black ones. I've never seen any either.
The truth is, these two groups of persons hold much of the wealth in the world. But they are socialized different from our children. So you notice where the Chinese put their home? So from toddlership, their little boys and girls are taught that they are to go through life preparing to employ people. So they are not going to work for anybody because they have understood the whole matter of financial relationship and financial health. The second set of person I like to look at quickly as I talk about man was made to enjoy relationship are the Jews. A lot of us in church, Seventh-day Adventists, and especially our young people, like to have sweet 16 parties, girls. The Jews have a very special way of indoctrinating and inducting their young people into adulthood. Where, when they get to that age, at Vesper, and they have Vesper consistently, by the way, mom and dad would call that young person together and said, listen, as you go through life, you're going to have a lot of friends. You are going to do a number of things in your exploration and development in life. And as you do some things, you may lose some friends. You'll disappoint some friends. Some will be ashamed of you. Some will reject you and disown you. But here are two persons in your life. Your mom and I will always be there for you. You think that make a difference? The Jewish young person therefore understand that he can go explore and do well, but there's a mother and a father who is standing by. What happened to us in our culture and in our church? I'm still talking about man enjoying fellowship and relationship with God. If one of our young people ever fall out of the way, we kick them out of the church. Then can't come back. I'm a elder in the church. You can't come in my house. You have embarrassed me. I want you to understand that God expects us to build relationship, and if we build relationship with our family, then we will be able to have healthier financial generational transcendency. And that's a part of health. God also prescribed man's diet. He said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, and every tree in which a fruit thereof yields seed. For you it shall be good for meat." Note this. There may be very few plants across the world that has a fruit with a seed that have any toxic substance in it. Poisonous substance, that is. They are generally all good. Note this also. A plant-based diet, the plants generally have the necessary phenolic compound that the body converts into antioxidant and antibodies to fight disease. So you look younger, longer. You age slower, and you cope better because the plant has the phenolic compound that gives you that. God prescribed man's diet. Well, what is it that we want? We ask for eggs, milk, and sugar. And we said, these are nice. Hello. Listen to this. Especially harmful are they. Read with me, man. Read with me. Especially harmful are they. And puddings in which Council on Health and Food, page 113. Not my words, but these are the things we want, don't it? The fruit not so nice. And I have had experience where I have to be working serious intervention tricks to get parents, to help parents to get their children eating fruits and vegetables. But you know what? Children are going to tell them the secret. The children don't want fruits and vegetables because mommy and daddy don't eat fruit and vegetables. And sometimes we see some behavior and habit in our children, and we would beat the holy hell out of them. But there are behaviors and habits that they have learned from us, and we hate them in ourselves so much that when we see them in our children, we are challenged by them. Book Education, page 144. Mrs. White says, "Many separate themselves from God by their indulged appetite." We are in a crime-riddled world. We are in a disease-prone world because of appetite. Appetite led Eve to choose to disobey God. We are here today because of that. But listen to this. He who notes the fall of the sparrow, who number the very hair of our head, mark the sins of those who indulge perverted appetite at the expense of weakening the physical power, benumbing the intellectual power, and deadening the mental perspective. The moral perception. God also prescribed a lifestyle of activity for mankind. So he put man in the garden to tend and dress it. It was God's intention that mankind would live a life of activity. So we need to understand man should exercise, man should be clear that they are to be involved doing things with their physical body, with their hand. This has two connotations. Dr. French, connotation number one, it doesn't matter what your academia, your academic excellence are, you still need to learn a skill. So can I say this, young people? I have a number of accolades, masters, whatever, whatever. But I just complete my level one training at Hart Portmore in plumbing. I don't tell anybody, Pastor, that I'm coming to pull down your toilet, but guess what? What happened in my house, I know. And when I call the plumber and he's doing something that isn't to be done, I say it's not to be done so. So I have two of these black tanks on my rooftop. And every time, ever so often, water would go away, and when it come back, the tanks overflow. And I'll call in the plumber, and he come, he take my own long ladder, go up on the rooftop, does something, and when he come down, he says, $3,500. I pay him because guess what? The water isn't leaking anymore. So I went to school one day. I'm one of the tutors at the academy, and I was complaining, and one of my brothers begin to laugh at me. He says, guess what, Mr. Moving? Because of the level of chlorine in the water, there's a check valve in each of the tank. And so the arm on which the float hold, the chlorine is going to lock that arm together because it stay one place so long. When the water goes away, instead of the float sink, it doesn't. And so when the water come back, the valve is not locking off the water again, so it's going to overflow. All the man did was to go up, take my own ladder, climb the roof, release the valve a little bit, and come down and charge me $3,500. So I learned that I need to go learn some things for myself. So after that, after I did my course of study, whenever my water go again, I make sure before the water come back, I go up, release the arm of the check valve, spray a little WD-40 on it, and when the water comes, I'm good. So you may not need to learn the skill to go working for somebody else, but the amount you save yourself is useful. God says man should be intellectual, but he should also be practical. So you notice that he first gave them the intellectual work of naming the animals. Having named them, he put them in the garden to tend and dress it, because both intellectual and physical is part of the human health. Man should also be a social being. God's and the Lord said, it is not good. It is not what? That a man should be alone. A part of worship is fellowship. Hello? And so we need to understand that we need to fellowship and socialize, because we are creatures of socialization. And if you come to church, have mercy. And church is a stressor. Marlene, it's time to go home. You need to understand that you should come to church with a happy spirit, with a joyful heart, because you have come where there are persons who share a common understanding like you do. So man need to be clear, it doesn't matter what form of physical activity you are involved in, whether you are jogging, doing aerobics, riding the bicycle, or even older ones, doing some gardening. Get up and get active. Hello? Notice this. Physical activity is essential to purity of thought. Is what? And you who get up in the morning and get out and get physical would recognize that you are more alert through the day. Hello? Not only are you more alert physically, but your entire muscular system is better attuned to the day's activities. It is also God's plan for mankind to be social, to enjoy a relationship with animal and other human beings. So you need to be clear the marital relationship between a man and a woman, between who? Is intended to be a relationship of socialization. That's one of the reasons why it cannot be any way otherwise than a man and a woman. And I'm going to leave it there. We need to understand that God intends that we should socialize, love each other, share with each other, build a bond. But what are the reasons we give for not doing these things? We say we do some things for our nourishment. And it doesn't matter how you want to say it or see it. This is how I see it, and it's okay. Some of us claim we can't exercise because it's too painful. Some of us claim there are sexual illicit behaviors around the society. We see it in the soap operas, and we claim everybody's doing it. I want you to know that everybody not doing it. And there are still people who are standing pure, doing what God expects them to do. We make other excuses. And some people say, I do it because I like it. I was talking to a lady recently about some of the challenges she's having in her life and some of the habits she is practicing. And she looked at me and she says, something going to take you out anyhow. So if I know this or something else, something better, whatever take me, something have to take me. Children of God should not be talking that way. Children of God should not be reasoning that way. Israelites should understand that we are a chosen people. And when you read the Bible and understand God's plan for us, we would understand that God desires the best for us. He also prescribed rest. The Bible says he blessed with what? He blessed what? And what? So you need to be clear that the Sabbath day is a special day. But I want to go a little further. Rest include more than the Sabbath. So we need to be clear, especially young people who spend all of digital free nights. You know what I'm talking about. You need to be clear that your body is so created that you need to have some sleep. A large proportion of our society is suffering from sleep deprivation. On the University of the West Indies campus, a survey was done recently. Why? The Bayesian and the Trinidadian and the other persons in our Caribbean basin that we claim we are from the same little part. That's what the first world people say. Are afraid of Jamaica. And why? And so even the students on the campus are not comfortable with Jamaican students. Why? The studies show their claim was that the Jamaican population is too aggressive. The extrapolation from those studies has proven that what is affecting our young people is that they are suffering from sleep deprivation because they party too much. And a friend of mine who is studying in London brought that home very forcibly to me when we discussed it. He says he is in university in London and he's going to a school that is predominantly white. So as a black student, they would pick on them. So there were two white boys jeering him, and he was going down an alley, cul-de-sac. And one of them walk up to him and says, pull the pants down, let me see where the tail is. And he was very upset because he saw that as very racist. And so he said, I don't know where I got it from, but I turn around and instinctively said to him, leave me alone, I'm a Jamaican. The boys took their feet in their hands and nobody not trouble him after that. We speak to the level of aggression we share as a society. I was going down the highway recently, Pastor, and I happened to pass a car, and I don't know that I did, but he think that I overtook him badly. And so he chased me down and wind his window down and tell me a few things. And then when I drove up to the toll booth, he's a church brother. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We need to understand that rest is important, and too many of us have not been resting. Even Sabbath we not rest. Pardon my patois. Thank God for Jesus. He has prescribed for us the opportunity. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have done a number of things that are contrary to what he has planned for us. He says, Book Evangelism, page 263. The work of health reform is the Lord's means of lessening suffering in the world. But he didn't stop there. And what? Is the work of lessening suffering in the world. And what? Unfortunately, sometimes God has to knock us down flat on our backs that we can look up to him. But as he lessens the suffering in the world through health reform, he pulls his people closer to him. Why health reform then? It is to decrease suffering among the non-believer. It is to purify the church. And it is for evangelism. I can tell you, because of the health message, I have been into homes and places that without it, I could not go. And in summary, quickly, we need to communicate and build relationship with God and with our fellow men. Support each other socially. Eat a plant-based diet generally. Exercise. Enjoy physical and spiritual rest. Keep God's commandment for protection. This lifestyle ensures eternal youth and good health. And I want you to understand it is your responsibility, nobody else. So don't tell me that, like a little girl tell me, mommy didn't. You need to understand that each individual must take responsibility for their health. As Seventh-day Adventists, I stop where I started. We believe that the health message is a right arm of the gospel. And many of us who are health educators and health reformers are so rigid. Hello? We even believe that if you are not a vegetarian, you're not going to heaven. And many people tell me, sir, if you are not a vegetarian, you can't be translated. I don't say that nowhere in the Bible. But the truth is, we are so rigid about the health message that we use it to turn away people instead of pulling them. My own suggestion to you today, use the right arm of the message. Use it gently. Use it how? Use it gently. Use it tact tactfully, use it carefully, because it is the entering wedge. It gives you an opportunity to tell people about the gospel truth that you would not have gotten before. I want you to understand that. You remember Jesus going into the temple and beating out those who were selling and exchanging money, and he said that my house should be a house of prayer for all people. When you do the research, you'll find that later, when the maddening throng came complaining and arguing and shouting that he should be crucified, those whom he had healed, those whom his life had touched through the health reform, were not among those groups. For they had felt his love. And you need to be clear, the people who you take care of in the health message are going to remember you and love you. Hello? So one other thing I say here, and I say for Seventh-day Adventists generally, the Seventh-day Adventist church has passed the stage where when a brother is sick, when we go to look for somebody who is not doing well within or without the church, we should be able to do more than saying, I'm here to pray for you. You should be able to help those who can't fall asleep to fall asleep. By simple feathering massage, by simply hydro practices, you can help people to relieve pain and suffering in a manner that they will come to love and know you. Remember, I was called by a pharmacist who somebody had recommended him to me. I recommended me to him, and he called me. When he spoke to me, he says, I'm a pharmacist, so don't tell me about any drugs. Calling him, I know them. He was having headache pastor for over 2 weeks, and it just could not go. And I went, I sat, I spoke with him a little bit, and I decided I'm going to do a contrast, hot and cold hydrotherapy. And I do that contrast, and within 6 minutes of my doing the process, the headache went. He looked at me and he says, where you were all this time? Why Jamaica don't have more people like you? Couldn't tell you, can't tell you what I told him. But the truth is, as Seventh-day Adventists, we have a lot of power. The health message is the entering wedge. When properly conducted, the health work is the entering wedge, making a way for other truth to reach the heart of the people. So one thing you learn, if you learn anything in fact, in the East Conference, I'm known for health and food. In the Central, they know me for family life and counseling. When I go West, they see me as an evangelist. But I never have a series without health program running simultaneously. Because we recognize everywhere we conduct these series, my wife is a nurse, and she'll find the nurses and doctors to help me. People come who would never have come. Remember one experience, and I close. I'd gone to do a series over in Bog Walk, and I'm permitted to use these counseling students. That Sunday morning, we had three doctors, a team of nurses running a health clinic. And when a particular lady was brought in a taxi, and they armchair her out to the doctor's office, doctor saw her, and then she came to me and said, Evangelist, this is your case, not mine. I went into the room, and I recognized the lady was suffering from what we call psychosomatic condition. She had gotten into some mix-up multiple relationship. She had a 16-year-old daughter who had done very well in the CXC, moved to sixth form, and all of a sudden, a particular man who she was friendly with came to claim him, this 16-year-old. And so this 16-year-old has two fathers now and is confused, and she was embarrassed. The church was going to put her at the back bench, and all kind of things was happening in her life. And I sat down, I spoke with her, I did a massage therapy on her leg because she says, I have not walked for over a month, I can't walk. So when she said to me, should I call the taxi? I said, no, you're walking home. Did some massage on her, having done the counseling, and she fell asleep on the table and I moved to another table. Woke her up about half an hour again and did another massage therapy on her. And she walked out of the tent to Hallelujah Chorus. I sent the Bible workers to visit with her, and she moved the following night. Nobody could find her. And they were disappointed. I didn't take a telephone number. We just have some address on the paper. Nobody took a telephone number for her. She just disappeared. About 3 weeks ago, I was driving down the highway, going into my home, and my phone rang. And the lady at the other end says, Dr. Moving, you are Dr. Moving? I said, yes. She said, do you remember Marlene? I said, Marlene, that's a popular name. She began to remind me of the experience in Bagwatch. I said, yes, I remember the experience, but I haven't seen the person after that. She says, I am that person. Can I tell you, I stopped the vehicle and said, praise God. I said, Marlene, I wanted to find you all these time, but I never found you. Where are you? She says, I know worship. And she tell me the Seventh-day Adventist. She says, I know a Seventh-day Adventist. I told the pastor of the experience, and he went to the conference, got your number, and asked me to call you and tell you. The health message is the entering wedge. I never gave her a Bible study, but she is now a part of the church. When the third angel message is received in its fullness, health reform will be given its place in the councils of the conference, in the work of the church, in the homes, at the dining table, and in all household arrangement. Then the right arm of the message will serve to protect the body. Hello. You got married? You're married? Let me see the wives. You're married. Let me just... Do you know, wives, why you are asked, or your husband walk with you to the altar with you at his left side? Near to the ark, they claim. It's more than that. His right arm is supposed to be available to protect you. His right arm should be free to defend you. In love and in pity. For us as a people, God caused a light to shine upon health reform. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand your health is your responsibility. It is God's plan for you that you should be in good health. It is a message of love. And God desires you to enjoy good health and to be people on their way to the kingdom. Thank God you are not alone. Jesus is with you. He says, come unto me, all he who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from the cares of life. Rest from the pains of life. Rest from the disappointment of life. And you have tried many things. Many things have failed. I want you to try Jesus. He's the answer to all your needs. He will be with you. He will be your shield and buckler. And he will see you through to the promised land. God bless you.